New Zealand's population has nearly hit 5 million. This is according to the latest census data. How much of that, though, is population growth and how much is immigration growth? And how big could and should New Zealand's population grow? We can talk about this further with Massey University demographer, Distinguished Professor Paul Spoonley, who is with us. Paul, kia ora, good morning, welcome back.
Kia ora, thank you, Susie.
So, when is population growth not population growth?
Well, there are various components to population growth. So one thing that's been on the decrease is our natural population growth, which is the number of births minus the number of deaths. So we've gone sub-replacement fertility, which we did a couple of years ago. And so that component of population growth is becoming less important. And then the more important element of population growth is what is contributed by migration and particularly net migration.
And this has been very strong, the immigration growth in recent years.
It's been huge. I mean, if we go back, our long-term average gain is around 10,000 to 12,000 per year. And then we hit that really historic high in 2017 of 72,000 per year. So it's come off that particular high. But I mean, really, we've never had anything in our history which has been equivalent to the last 4 or 5 years where New Zealand has had the highest net migration gain in the OECD.
In your view, is that a good thing?
Well, I think that's both a policy and a political question. So let me deal with the policy elements of it. What we need to do is look at the requirements of our economy, but also what are our components of population growth. So it would be really good to go back to your opening question, Susie, if we had a population policy. So whenever I hear migration being talked about as the sole component or the major component of population, you know, we're really asking the wrong question. So what we need to do is talk about a whole lot of things, including our fertility, where people live, the number of people who are migrating in and out of the country. That's all part of a general package. So I just think that there's a lot more that needs to be said, and that, of course, is the political question or the political debate that we need to have. I mean, how fast should our population be growing? Where should it be growing? I mean, at the moment, Auckland is really the recipient of the largest amount of number of people being added to a population of any part of New Zealand, even though the relative growth rate is slightly lower than, say, Waikato or Bay of Plenty.
And so the population, 4,885,300 as at the 30th of June 2018. So this million that's been added recently, is that the fastest million we've ever had?
Easily the fastest. And can I correct you? Because I just had a look at the population clock that New Zealand Stats run, and it's now 4,941,781. So we're about 58,000 short of that 5 million. And at the rate that we're going, that's going to be hit probably later this year. So we've added another million to our population in 16 years. And the only other time that it even comes close was during the baby boomer years of the 1950s and 60s, when it took 21 years. So normally it would take 30 to 40 years to add a million. 16 years is about half of what we would normally expect.
Gosh, that's extraordinary that it's been done in such quick time.
Yes, it is. And remember that not only is net migration the highest in the OECD, New Zealand's net migration is the highest in the OECD, but we've had the fastest growth population growth rate at 2.1%, Ireland second at 2.04%. The numbers have softened both in terms of population growth and net migration gains recently, but certainly New Zealand's been holding that lead position since about 2014.
And why is it that so many people are wanting to come to New Zealand?
Well, they come for the quality of the lifestyle primarily, but we select them for very different reasons. We essentially select them for the contribution they're going to make to the economy. They might be people who are setting up a business here. And in particular, we need them for their skills, their labour skills. And so primarily, the largest group who we approve in any given year come under the skilled migration category. And so they're coming really in response to demands inside the New Zealand labour market.
And what countries are they coming from?
Well, it depends on the visa category. So if we're talking about study visas, then it would be China. If we're talking about work visas, then it would be the UK. So it rather depends on which category we're talking about. In terms of the largest numbers arriving in total, it would be China, India and the UK in that order.
Now, it is political. You mentioned that P word already. Labour promising before the last election to cut immigration by 30,000, I think it was, from memory. 20 to 30?
20 to 30.
Have they got there, and would it be a good thing if they did?
Well, it certainly came off that high in 2017, which of course was the election year, and I think Labour can probably claim that they've met their target, because it's dropped by 9,000. Our net gain has dropped by 9,000 per year. So it's dropped 18,000 in the last 2 years. But as Bernard Hickey has noted in a column yesterday, what's happened is it's tended to move from permanent arrivals to temporary arrivals. And when you look at what the government have been doing, they've not been approving as many residence visas. So just to explain that, people come on temporary visas and they might be to study or to work, and then they have the option, or have had the option in the past, to transition to a permanent residence. And the numbers of those being approved under those temporary visa categories for permanent residents has gone down, and that would primarily explain the drop of about 18,000 in the net gain.
There are a couple of specific areas of the visa categories that have been in the news recently: the partner visa, also the parent visa, and some different controls coming on there. So what are we likely to see as a result of those?
Well, Susie, can I just go back? Because I think what we should understand is that, yes, the current government wanted to see a reduction, and we've seen that reduction, but that reduction began under the previous government. So the minister at the time said that he would reduce the number of residence visas by about 5,000 per year. And so this government has continued that. The previous government also suspended the parent visa category. And I think that's a mistake. I think that if you're wanting people to come and settle and to integrate into our society, and the centre of gravity, which is what the immigration department used to say should they be coming to live in New Zealand with their adult children, if that centre of gravity is in New Zealand, so for example your children, adult children are in New Zealand, they've been given approval to come here, then why not bring the parents as long as they meet certain conditions, that there's enough money to look after their particular needs? That suspension of the parent category has continued on. However, the current minister has indicated an interest in looking at it again. And then, of course, the current kerfuffle really is around the partner category.
And the partner category stuff, is that a misunderstanding? Is that an incorrect framing around arranged marriages, for example?
Well, let me say by way of background that if you are a New Zealand resident, you do have the right to bring in a partner to this country, but the conditions are very, very interesting. So there's a long list of things that you need to establish. And at the top of those is that there has been a relationship for 12 months. And then they've got some very interesting requirements around what living together or what a partnership actually means. And then you've got to provide evidence of that before you get a partner visa approval. Looking at those very extensive conditions that are set by us, the New Zealand Society via the Immigration Department, you've got to say that it doesn't make any allowance for cultural differences. And I think when we come to arranged marriages, certainly arranged marriages would not meet a number of these conditions. It just simply wouldn't be possible unless you'd gone to live in another country with your proposed partner. And then, of course, when I think about it, I'm just doing some work on current demography. And when I look at how New Zealanders themselves practice partnerships in various ways, either through marriage or civil union or de facto relationships of various sorts, we're expecting migrants or potential migrants through this visa system to do things that New Zealanders themselves don't do. I mean, I think there's very clear criteria there.
So why is that the case, that we are essentially trying to apply different rules to different groups of people?
Well, I think generally we set a very high standard for people who want to come and live in New Zealand. The standards around good character, whether or not they've said what they've done before. You might remember a couple of years ago that we had issues with particularly people in India who were presenting documents that said that they had done something and in fact they hadn't done that. So we set some very high barriers, despite what people might think, in terms of people getting approval to come and live in New Zealand permanently. And I think the partner visa issue, which has come up recently, has just highlighted really the quite tough conditions that we set.
Now, you mentioned some of the places that people are going to live. You mentioned growth in Auckland. Where are migrants who come into the country who've potentially got a bit of choice? Where do they go?
Auckland. So in terms of the net migration gain in any given year, about 60% of those will either come to Auckland in the first place or end up in Auckland. And the minister has indicated that he's very interested, as part of the approach to regional development, to try and get migrants to disperse to other parts of New Zealand. And he's indicated that he wants to develop a regional occupational shortages list, so that a region could say, this is really our need for migrants who've got this particular skill to come to this region. I think they could go further. I think they could begin to do what Canada and Australia do, which is get regions much more involved in migration selection and approval. But at the moment, you've got to say that the major beneficiary of migrants coming to New Zealand is Auckland, and then Hamilton and, to some extent, Tauranga.
I suppose just one last thing to look at with all of this. We're saying, you know, the population's about to hit 5 million. This is all based on the census of 2018. The data was a bit ropey on that, though. So are we right that that's the number?
Yeah, that's a tricky question. And the group that's looking at the quality of that data is about to come out with another report, and I'm looking forward to that. I've got two concerns. One is the level of under-enumeration of Māori, but the other one is that we've had the largest net gain of any period in our history between 2013 and 2018 of 260,000 people, and I would really like to see how much data, good data, that census have been able to, the statistics have been able to generate, given that I suspect that there is quite a significant proportion of those new arrivals who were not captured in the 2018 census data material. So
might be at 5 million already.
I doubt it, but I think that's a good question, and I think we've got to have some faith in Stats New Zealand and that they're doing the best job that they can, and they're making up the sort of gaps from the 2018 census by bringing in data from elsewhere. And my understanding is that they're doing quite a good job with that, but I do have some reservations about the data that's been collected through the 2018 census, and for somebody like myself, it makes me a bit nervous to come onto your radio show and be very confident that the data that I'm talking about is actually the most accurate data.
Oh, indeed. Yes, thank you very much for coming on the radio show, though. Paul Spoonley there, distinguished professor from Massey University, demographer, of course. And you can read more about how New Zealand is changing as that population grows at rnz.co.nz/5 million. Also, tune into Insight on Sunday, just after the 8 o'clock news, to hear why migrants are choosing to make New Zealand their home.